This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
This is BJ, and I would like to welcome you to our show. Positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show. Good morning, everybody. This is BJ with Just Stuff, and I am just so glad that you all are here listening to us this morning. After all, like I just said, you are the best part of this show. Now, last week we talked about diabetes and a specific part of diabetes. And this week we're going to be talking about diets that goes along with diabetic diagnoses. And my guest this morning, I'm going to let her go ahead and introduce herself to us and give us a brief summary of what we talked about last week. Mrs. Johnson.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I'm Sandra Johnson. I'm a retired critical care registered nurse and also a retired assistant professor of nursing at Northwestern State University.
Okay. Like I said, last week we spoke about the A1C. So will you give us a brief summary of what the A1C is and how it's related to being a diabetic?
Yes. Okay. We talked about what diabetes is, first of all, and what's going wrong in the body when you do have diabetes, specifically type 2 diabetes is what we talked about, because there are different types of diabetes. And then we talked about the lab test that you would have to let you know that you have diabetes, and specifically the A1C test. You hear that a lot when you go to the doctor. The A1C is a test that shows how your body is handling diabetes, whether your blood sugar is remaining high or it fluctuates up and down. The A1C is that test that can tell the doctor how you are doing with your diabetes. And we also talked about the complications of having diabetes, which is important because sometimes people don't realize that it's a very dangerous thing to have type 2 diabetes. And one of the complications is having a stroke. Diabetes can cause you to have a stroke. Okay. It can cause problems with your heart. It can cause blindness over time. Mm-hmm. And kidney disease, where you might have to end up on dialysis. So no one wants all of those complications. So it's very important that when you are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, you get moving in the right direction.
Absolutely.
And then we talked about the various treatments you would have for diabetes, which includes what you eat, and it includes medication and exercise and so forth. So today we're going to talk about treatments of diabetes. We're going to continue with that segment and talk about the foods we eat.
Absolutely.
And this is something that everybody wants to listen to. What should we eat? What should we stay away from? So we're going to learn some things today.
Absolutely. And like you said, this is very important, very important adjunct to being diabetic. And it can help us to have a healthier outcome with diabetes if we pay attention to what we eat and what we're not, what we shouldn't eat. And like I said today, that's what we're going to talk about. Now, why do you think that nutrition is so important to treating diabetes?
Okay, if anyone heard the segment last week, we talked about diabetes being a malfunction in the body of your body to utilize glucose. Glucose comes from carbohydrates, and carbohydrates are foods that we eat that the body needs. But because we have type 2 diabetes, it's not working good for us. So nutrition is very important because we get carbohydrates from the foods we eat. And if you heard it last week, we said that carbohydrates are fuels, like gas, putting gas in a car. I think I used that analogy last time, putting gas in a car. If you don't put gas in your car, you can't move it. It won't go. So we have to have carbohydrates, proteins, and fats in our diet to help us to go. But when you don't have, when you have type 2 diabetes, your carbohydrates don't process right in the body. That's what we said last time. So that's why nutrition, we're going to talk about what things we need to push back a little bit on. We're not going to say don't eat those things. We're going to say just, you know, be mindful of how bad it is to eat that. And we want to just eat a little of it just to satisfy our taste buds.
Okay, okay. And that's better than not eating at all the things that we like, things that we enjoy. So, well, how does our digestion affect the rise and fall of blood sugars?
Okay, so when you eat food, of course, everyone knows that your food is digested down to, like, liquid. When it goes in your stomach and through your intestines, it's like a, in a liquid form. And that liquid, the nutrients are absorbed from that nutrient, from that liquid into the bloodstream. Once it happens, the blood is able to carry all that glucose that comes from the carbohydrates, and it carries it to the cells. Okay? So digestion, depending on what you ate and when you ate it and how much you ate, it can have an effect on how high your blood sugar would be and how low it's going to be, depending on what you're doing.
And I like that analogy you gave last week, too, about the, about the sugar, glucose being in the cells. And you said that it was like the sugar that's in your cells, if it's a lot, then it scratches your cells. And then your blood cells can't do, they can't perform like they're supposed to and do the job that they're supposed to do. And I think that was a very great analogy as to what how the cells function. And that's something we can remember, you know, whenever we're partaking in our meals and whatnot, eating things that we shouldn't be eating. So, so is there an explanation as to why, first of all, we see a lot of things for diabetics that say it's sugar-free in the grocery store. So is sugar-free food really sugar-free food?
Well, sugar-free can mean many different things. Sometimes foods can be processed without using sugar. Of course, it's going to taste really different, but you can get used to it. If we are having problems in our bodies with blood sugar, with the sugar that's in our blood, we can try those sugar-free foods. Now, some foods that say sugar-free contain sugar substitutes, which it's like sugar, but it's not exactly sugar. But it can have some effects that are not good on the body if you eat too much of it. So some of those things that we use in foods that are that is sugar-free is Splenda and Equal. Most people have heard of either Splenda or Equal or both of them. There are many of them, but those two are seem to be the most popular. When you use those, you don't need to use it every day in large amounts. When you use those sugar-free substances, just use a little bit. Now, I'm thinking about coffee. I drink 2 cups of coffee a day. I used to use Splenda and or Equal in my coffee, but when I found out that they can have side effects, you know, they're not the healthiest thing to use, although you are helping your sugar, but they're not really that healthy. So we have to be careful with that. So what I did, I stopped using sugar substitutes. And on my on a daily basis, I use sugar, but I use a teeny tiny bit of sugar, and I'm fine with it. So my brain is trained not to want all that sugar or all that sweet in my coffee. So I handle that by just using a tiny bit of real sugar, white sugar.
So you trick the brain into thinking that it has all that it needs.
So that worked for me, and it probably can work for other people. You just have to try it and give yourself time.
All right.
And if you really, really can't help it, you can use the sugar substitutes, but just be aware that they might not be as healthy as you think they are, but they might help you with that sugar.
Now, excuse me. Is there an explanation as to why many diabetics crave sweets and will usually indulge in spite of their condition?
Yes, there is an explanation. And this is such a good question because people can become upset with themselves that they can't stop eating the sweets. Well, we have this big thing inside of our heads called a brain. Most of us have one. And that brain tries to trick us into wanting what we want or what we're used to eating, okay? So when you hear me say we have to train the brain, that really works. That really works. When you have to tell your brain what you're not going to eat, and, you know, you have to keep doing it. And your brain actually gets used to it after a while. But why do we crave sweets when we're trying not to eat them? Well, when we stop eating what we normally eat and try to eat better with less sugar, less sweets, and all of the things that's not good for our diabetes, the brain doesn't like it. The brain is so used to having all that sweet, it wants you to, and that's what craving is. Not stomach that wants it. It's your brain. So we have to train the brain not to, you know, not to make us eat what we're not supposed to eat. And after a while, give yourself a year or two, and you'll see a big difference if you stick with it and try to eat better and not eat so many sweets and things like that. And if you stick with it, your body gets used to it.
Oh, but it takes a whole year.
Well, if you do it right, if you think you're going to make a big change like that in 2 months or 6 months, it's not happening. So tell yourself it's going to take me a while. It's the same thing with people trying to lose weight. They want to lose weight really, really fast. But you should try to lose weight over a couple of years so that it's slowly going down. Nobody notices it, you know. And it's just going down, 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 you know, just a little bit at a time. And when you get to where you want to be, you're fine. Your brain is used to it, you know, your stomach is used to it, so you're fine. It's the same type of thing with sugar.
Because I used to watch Daddy was diabetic, and Daddy would get, he liked syrup over rice, and both of those things are not good. But he would eat his syrup over rice and just all sorts of stuff. So anyway,
Yeah, people with type 2 diabetes, they crave sweet. And that's something you have to work with. You have to train your brain not to want it. And you're not going to, if you put sugar, if you put syrup on your rice, you're not going to all of a sudden say, oh, I'm not going to do that. Not going to work. What you do is the next day when you get that syrup bottle and that bowl of rice, you pour half of what you normally put on it. Just half. Okay, so you're not depriving yourself.
Right, right.
And after a couple of weeks, after several weeks, you might go even less than that until you can get to where you can have just a minimal amount of syrup on your rice, which I never heard of. But, you know, you, that's how you do it. You slowly, over weeks, not days, because it's not going to work.
And it takes persistence.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it all depends on how you want your health to be.
Yes, right.
You know, with
exactly.
these different types of conditions. Now, so I know that sometimes diabetics need nighttime snacks. What's that all about? Why do diabetics need nighttime snacks?
Typically, diabetics who have type 1 diabetes, they have to have a nighttime snack because they take insulin, the hormone insulin, in the evening. And during the night, their blood sugar would drop really low if they don't have that. You can get very sick if your blood sugar drops too low. But that's with type 1 diabetes. But with type 2 diabetes, it's kind of the same thing. If you're a patient that's sick in the hospital and your blood sugar goes too high, the doctor's going to put you on insulin. You may not take insulin at home. While you're in that hospital, you're going to have insulin to help get your blood sugar back down to where it should be. At that time, the nurse is going to come in and give you a bedtime snack so that your sugar doesn't drop too low after giving the insulin.
Okay. So do you think the craving, you know, when diabetics crave sweet things, do you think a nighttime snack would be a good thing for just a regular diabetic, just a small
nighttime snack? Yeah, well, this is what you do. If you crave sweets, okay, what you can do is not eat sweets, not eat anything, no type of carbohydrate, but you can eat protein,
peanut butter,
yeah, and they usually give patients like peanut butter and crackers. Crackers are carbohydrates, but they're not, they're just a little thin wafers. They're not, you know, they're not going to hurt you. You know, if you don't eat too many, peanut butter, that's a really good snack. And there are other things, too. I can't think of it right off the top of my head, but I remember giving patients peanut butter and crackers for a snack at night. Yeah.
Okay. All righty. Now, is sugar the main culprit for raising blood sugar? Sugar itself, by itself.
Sugar by itself, it can. Do you mean if you eat sugar? Well, I'm trying to think of how.
Like adding too much sugar. Like if I want a spoonful of sugar added to my cereal.
Oh, yes. That is definitely a main culprit for having type 2 diabetes, because remember, that sugar that you just ate is not going to be processed properly, and it's going to stay in your bloodstream, and it's going to make your blood sugar very high. Sugar, just plain sugar, like dipping out of the sugar bowl and putting it in your food, sprinkling it on your food, that's not good. That's not good. And then cereal that you buy from the store, from the grocery store, a lot of them have a lot of sweet in it. You know, they already have sugar in it.
Right.
And some don't. Some of the cereals don't have sugar in them, but people tend to take a spoonful or two and add it. And that's not good. No, that's not good. You shouldn't do that. And if you are going to do it, if you normally put two spoonfuls of sugar, tone it down. Next time you get that cereal, just use one. Then, you know, try that for a while, several months. Just use that one. And then when you get brave enough, you can go down to half of one teaspoon and just keep it going like that. But for diabetes, we have to give ourselves time for our body to figure out what we're trying to do.
Right.
So that's what it is.
Right. And if we're persistent and, you know, in doing what we're supposed to do, it can be done. Because I'll just use myself for an example. one day the doctor told me that I was, type 2 diabetes, and he wanted to put me on medication. And I said, doctor, I said, please, I said, I do not want to have to take a pill. I said, give me a chance to try to see what I can do, if that will change anything. And I did, you know, all that cheese and ice cream and all of that stuff, cereal and all of that stuff that I just love, I just cut back on it. I don't deprive myself because, you know, every
It'll
once in a while pay. I'll eat my ice cream and I'll have cheese, but I don't eat as much as I used to, and I don't eat it all of the time. And I can still have those things that I love, but then I'm protecting my health also by not overindulging in the things that I don't need. And now that worked for me. I don't know if that's just personal. I don't know if that would work for anybody else, but it worked. It worked for me. And so I don't have that title anymore, type 2 diabetes, because it's controlled with, diet and just, you know, making adjustments to do something so that I won't have to take any medicine, because I'm a nurse, but I do not like to take medicine at all.
That's really, really good what you did to help your type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. That's excellent. If more people could do that, it would be so good. Mm-hmm. You know, we would wipe out that type 2 diabetes, you know, good.
Mm-hmm.
But some people just see, you had the understanding. You already had the understanding of what's going on and what you need to do.
True.
But most people don't. Most people who have diabetes, I shouldn't say most people, but are large, large number of the people with type 2 diabetes, they don't understand. They don't realize that they could do what you did.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't advocate for the normal, I'm saying normal, people that don't know much about diabetes.
Right.
I wouldn't advocate that they not take the medicine and try to do it on their own.
Right.
You could do it. You could do it because you know about what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Being a nurse, you know about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But normal people, I don't think you should try that.
Mm-hmm.
Not normal, but people with type 2 diabetes. If you're not a nurse or a doctor or something, you know, it's not going to be
easy.
It may not work.
It's not easy. It's not easy, but
it
takes
easy,
discipline. You have to discipline yourself, and a lot of us just don't want to do that. So
right.
But anyway,
that is absolutely a good way to take care of your diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just give, you know, you told the doctor that you wanted to try and give yourself. And I know if yours would have gone out of control while you were trying, you would have just went back to the doctor and said, no, I don't think I can do it. You know,
absolutely.
But that's an excellent way to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I said, you know, from the beginning, it's just a personal testimony. You know, because I know everybody's not going to.
Yeah, everybody's different. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All righty then.
Yeah. So No. Well, since we're talking about the sugar, let me just say some of the things that we that are bad for us, and I'm not going to say don't eat it, but some of the things are sweets, such as candy, cakes, cookies, pies, chocolate, ice cream, all those things that are real sweet and very, very yummy. Those are not good for type 2 diabetes, but I'm going to tell you what you need to do.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to say just don't, you know. Those things contain sweet sugar, okay? But carbohydrates are different. Carbohydrates contain sugar when it's broken down and digested in the body.
Oh, okay.
So what are carbohydrates? Anything. This is the way I remember it. Somebody taught me this way to remember it. Think of things that are white. Like white bread, that's a carbohydrate. Potatoes, that's a carbohydrate. Rice, pasta, flour and sugar. Sugar out of the bowl. Okay, so those things are carbohydrates. That means when we eat them, they break down to sugar, okay? Now, you know, pasta doesn't taste sweet.
Right.
But when it gets in the body and it digests, the bottom line that it breaks down to, the smallest atom that it breaks down to is glucose, which is sugar. So anything that is, the way I remember it, is white things. Now, but you have to be careful with that. Is rice always white?
No.
No. You can have brown rice, yellow rice. Now, don't sit there and try to trick yourself and say, oh, she said rice because it's white. I'm going to eat brown rice and eat a whole bucket of it, you know. that's the thing. And is pasta always white? No. You can have green pasta, brown pasta, whatever, you know, whatever color. It comes in a lot of colors. So, but it's still pasta, no matter what color it is. But for us to remember it, I say white thing. Bread. Is bread always white?
No.
No. You can have whole wheat bread, which is my favorite. You know, but it's still bread. It's still a carbohydrate.
Okay.
And what did we say carbohydrates break down to when you get them in the body?
Glucose.
Glucose, which is what?
Sugar.
Sugar. Right. See? So now let's get into some important stuff like, how are we going to stop eating these things that we've been eating all our lives, and that's what we eat, and that's what we like. Okay? All the things that I named, and many, many more.
Absolutely.
But, you don't want to just stop eating it, unless you can do that, but most people are unable to do that. You don't want to just stop eating pasta. What you want to do is eat less. Okay, now, if you really like pasta and you eat it several times a week, cut down on how many times a week you eat it.
Okay.
So if you eat it, you know, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, okay, give yourself a break from it on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or, you know, whatever. Just make up in your mind that you're not going to eat it as much. Okay, now that's one thing. Change the times that you eat it, how often you eat it. You can still eat it. The second thing to do is not eat as much of it. So if you used to fill up a whole plate full of spaghetti, okay, spaghetti is a pasta. If you filled up your whole plate of it, okay, that's too much if you have type 2 diabetes. So just try half, okay? Just try half, drink some water so you can help fill up your stomach, and just try it. You know, you might not be very happy because spaghetti, boy, if that's your favorite thing to eat, it's going to be hard to do. So just know that it's going to be hard, but also know that you can do it. It's doable.